I want to call the Business Finance Justice Committee to order at this time. This time, Randall, give a convocation, please.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this evening that you have blessed us with. Lord, we ask that you just be with us and guide us and help us make the right decisions for our nation and for our future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Time now, 6:30. This time, Gacy, roll call, please.
Pete Beaver. Randall Hicks.
Present.
David Hill.
Here.
Robert Huff.
Here.
Adam Jones. Chairman, I got 3 present, 2 absent.
3 present, 2 absent. Adam Jones and Pete Beaver have been excused tonight. We have a quorum, so any business conducted tonight will be official. Moving on down the agenda is item E, approval of minutes of May 12th, May 21st. Or a second?
Second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
David Hill.
Yes.
Chairman, got 2 in favor, 0 against.
Yeah, 2 in favor and against. That motion has been approved. Moving on down to order of business.
Chairman, at this time, I would like to make a motion to move TR 1695, 96, 97, 98 to the top. That way we can get the nominations and interviews out of the way.
Here, a second.
Second.
All in favor say aye. Okay. So we'll do that. Okay. The order will be TR 160-095. A proper resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Louie Ann Hudson to serve on the Muskogee Loan Fund Board. Sponsor David Hill.
Chairman, make a motion to be passed.
Motion to be passed. Is there a second?
Second.
Floor is open for discussion. Ms. Hudson? You want to just ask some questions, David? That's up to you. Okay. Yes, sir. David, is your.
I want to just kind of explain your background.
Okay.
Business time.
Sure. I work in business development for Bank of Oklahoma. I've been with that company for 20 years. I am a part of the business banking group. My office out of Muskogee. I do commercial lending. I do just a little bit of everything involved in the bank. I do a lot of, my official title is business development officer. I do a lot of marketing with companies. I have a lot of large public fund accounts and large corporate accounts.
Okay. Any questions? Anybody questions? Anybody questions? Questions?
These bills are still in the email void, so I can't pull them up and follow along. My email hasn't pulled them off the server yet. So just can you go over how many of these positions are supposed to be Creek citizens? I don't know if Ms. Hudson's a citizen or not. I mean, can you go over that stuff for me?
Yeah, I don't have to hear that bill.
There's no requirement for any of them. Okay. I was just curious. I don't know. I couldn't pull the legislation.
So. Did she tell you there was no stipulation? Any other questions? Hearing none, roll call, please.
David Hill?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 2 in favor, 0 against.
I'm 2 in favor, none against. That must have been approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we need her to come for, the planning session?
Planning.
Okay. Come back Tuesday for planning sessions at 6:30.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next order of business, TR 16-096, a proper resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Brad Kent to serve on the Muskogee Loan Fund Board. Sponsor David Hill.
Chairman, make a motion to pass.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Kent? Good evening.
Good evening.
Why don't you just give a kind of background of who you are and what you, why you want to be on the board?
I grew up in the southwest part of the state, Frederick, Oklahoma. Went to Oklahoma State University, graduated from Oklahoma State University. There was a few years there that I worked in the insurance business. Then an opportunity came available for a banking position in Wetumpka. I moved there. I've been there since 1998. Most recently, since 2008, I have been the senior vice president and market president for that area. Loans, employee management, so forth.
Questions, David?
Not at this time.
Randall, questions?
Got one. What interest do you have working for the Muskogee Cree Nation Loan Board?
It just seems like something that would be very interesting to me from what I've been told. A group to kind of look at loans that are within the Creek Nation. I was asked about it and I thought that sounds really interesting.
Thank you. Questions? A lot of questions? Question? I know Mr. Rufus Scott called me this evening and he was very, very supportive of Mr. Kent, so I want to let y'all know that. So.
Thank you.
If nothing else, roll call, please.
David Hill.
Yes.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 2 in favor, 0 against.
Yeah, 2 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. And, there'll be a probably come back on Tuesday night for a planning session at 6:30.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks, everyone.
Moving down on the agenda is TR 16-097. A tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Earl King to serve on the Muskogee Loan Fund Board. Sponsor James Jennings. Any motion?
Make motion.
Okay, second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. King. Harry's not. Why don't you kind of just give your general history yourself and kind of, James? You know.
Mr. King has served on the council previously, and he is a citizen of the nation, and he's also served on this board previously, so he has experience with it. Thank you.
David?
No, I'm just here going.
You want to give a brief description about yourself, Earl?
Oh, yes. Okay. I served on the Creek Council 4 terms consecutively. Graduated from Will Rogers in Tulsa, went to school at TU, graduated from ORU with a business degree, worked 38 years for American Airlines and as supervisor and crew chief, honorably discharged from the U.S. Navy E-5 Special Services. Was asked by past Secretary of the Nation to serve on the board for the loan fund. I told him I was glad to do that, to become work for the Creek Nation. Bill 5, we thought we were an ongoing concern at the time, but apparently some flaws came up and we had to have it redone, and that's why we're here tonight, apparently.
Okay. Any questions? Any questions? Any more questions?
Now that on the previous legislation that was submitted and re-amended, what's your thoughts on it now? You think it's more the original legislation that was submitted to form Muskogee Loan?
Uh-huh.
We had to re-amend it. What's your thoughts on it now?
Well, at that time, I thought we were a going concern. We had we were doing pretty good. We were making loans. Our manager was making loans, and apparently she didn't get everything done that was supposed to be done to make us a complete organization under the federal guidelines. So after the board discussing and some of the things that we were not getting as board members, we decided that there changes need to be made in order to get the money out to the Creek people in the communities. Mm-hmm. We were getting some feedback from some of the people that had came down to try to make a loan or even make a payment, and no one was in the office. So we got that type of feedback, and so we just decided that some changes had to be made. So we went to the AG, and the AG said that we were not in compliance. So that's why we had to get talk to the speaker and with the second chief and the chief. And AG, they were responsible for putting together a plan so that, and called different organizations, other loan funds with other tribal groups that have loan funds. So explanation was given that there were four items that needed to be completed in order for us to be a going concern. So that was done, and the council, along with the speaker, said that we needed to be confirmed again to have it all legal. And that's pretty much where we're at tonight.
Okay.
So our chairman resigned, and me being the vice chairman, took it up on myself to try to get some things done so we could get this in operating in a manner so that it would be complete under the federal guidelines.
I do. Okay. Anything else, anybody? Hearing none, roll call, please.
David Hill?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 2 in favor, 0 against.
I have 2 in favor, none against. That motion has been approved. Why don't you come back on Tuesday night, plan at 6:30.
Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take care. Next on the agenda is TR-16-098, a tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation not confirming the nomination of Lawrence Wilson to serve on the Muskogee Loan Fund Board. Sponsor, Jamie Jennings.
Chairman, make a motion to pass.
Okay, 1 second.
Second.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wilson also is a Creek citizen. He's a retired educator from OSU-IT here at Omaha. I support him. Thank you.
Mr. Wilson, can you give us a brief background about yourself a little bit?
Sure. Like you said, I've been an educator. I taught in 2 boarding schools. I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, Institute of American Indian Arts, and I transferred to Schlocko Indian School. Worked there 3 years, it closed, and I went to Oklahoma State University. It changed several names. Finally ended up OSU-IT, but I had 32 years there, 38 years in total in education. And I'd like to say appreciate Mr. Jennings for sponsoring me, and appreciate this committee, this council, for approving us and getting us back to be in compliance.
Okay.
And I would like to say that this is a great board, because we loan money to citizens that can't get the traditional loans, and that to me is paramount. So Creek citizens get loans, and in the future we feel like this is going to be a great program. That's
okay.
That's why we're doing. And my fellow members, I really appreciate Mr. Earl and Luann and our new Kent. So appreciate it. Thank you for the board for doing this for us.
Thank you. Questions, David?
Yeah. On your, just kind of give an example, whenever someone applies, what is the turnaround time average?
Well, each one is different, but I would say probably there's going to be about a 3-month turnaround, because here's what happens. When they make an application, we have people that are counselors, and they go through, they look at their resume, and they say, well, this right here is good, and they look through their whole package. And Mr. Blue does a great job, and you know, we don't tell anyone no. What we do tell them is, you don't qualify yet. You need to take, they may have strengths such as financial, they may have strengths such as technical, but there are some things they may not have strengths with. So each one is different, but I would guess probably about a 3-month turnaround to get them compliant. That, and in a sense, that makes their career more successful. We haven't had anyone just go belly up. And I think that's highly attributed to Mr. Blue's preparing. Because basically, back, it's kind of like education. He gives us a grade. A, they're qualified. B, C, or D. And we won't pass anyone, or we don't tell them. When it gets to our point, we haven't turned anyone down, because they've all, at that point, have an A or B. They're ready. So if you look at the background, Mr. Hill, mm-hmm. we're really proud of that. Like I said, we provide help for them, give them counseling. And if you know anyone that needs a loan, send them to us.
Okay. David? Okay.
Percentage-wise, how many success you feel you have?
Pardon?
Success, as far as percentage-wise, how many that's came and started their own business?
100%. I don't know anyone's gone under. We've had some people that, you know, because of, just like the oil business, slowed down, we haven't had anyone default. So, you know, they're all paying their loans back. Occasionally we'll have someone be back to me, maybe be a month or two behind in payments, but then they usually catch up, and then we're back in the game again. So we feel real proud of what we're doing.
David, anything else?
No.
Randall?
Just, Mr. Wilson, you're currently on the board.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been on here?
Since we started, it's been about 3 years.
3 years, okay.
Yeah, when I retired, there's a few things that would get me out of retirement to do this sort of thing. And this is one of the things I do. You know, I believe in what we're doing. One of the things that happens is if we get a creek person in business, and that could be anything. It could be insulation, it could be carpet cleaning, whatever they're doing. What we find is they tend to hire creek people. Now, would you agree with me? If someone gets in the business, the first thing they're going to look at their brother, their sister, their cousin. So they're going to hire other creeks. So and that's what we discovered.
Good deal. Okay. Cool. Any else, Ben?
No. The one thing, I just want to comment. I mean, he did teach at OSU, and I took some of his classes, and number wise. He knows them all. He knows them. So, I recommend.
Any questions? Questions? Hearing none. Roll call, please.
David Hill.
Yes.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 10 in favor, 0 against.
10 in favor, 9 against. The message will pass. Come back to planning session 6:30 Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you.
My door. Back to our business. Sierra 16079. A travel resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing and ratifying a certain investment account agreement with Merrill Lynch, and authorizing the principal chief to execute a Merrill Lynch consulting service client agreement and addendum with Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Feener, and Smith Incorporated, MLPFNS, and related documentation for investment advisory services as described in the Merrill Lynch consulting services brochure agreement and addendum, and the Merrill Lynch Investment Advisory Program Client Agreement and Amendment with MLPFNS and Managed Account Advisors, LLC, MNA, and related documentation for investment advisory and other services as described in the Merrill Lynch Investment Advisory Program Brochure Agreement and Amendment. It's a good thing I read fast.
Good
Hear a motion to adopt. Motion made to adopt. Hear a second.
Same.
Okay. Sponsor is Mr. Hicks.
No, the chief didn't make it. Is anybody from the attorney's office?
Yes, as far as the specifics, as far as what's in the agreement, yeah. Leave the gentleman to probably explain it a little over there.
5 minutes? Merle Lynch?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I've got a brief summary of this legislation. I think it would help describe it. It's okay if we hand that out.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much. In respect of everyone's time, I'm going to get through this as fast as I possibly can. Obviously, if you take any questions at the end, my personal direct contact information is in probably the second or third sheet in. If anyone has any questions, even after tonight, they can contact me directly. My name is Todd Saylor. I work for Merrill Lynch here in the Tulsa office. I've been associated with it, help managing permanent fund assets for the nation since 2008. We have some legislation pending, basically updating the investment and advisory documents for the accounts that we have. I've got a summary here, and I'm just going to read a brief summary at the top and talk about a few bullet points. The purpose of the legislation is twofold. Merrill Lynch has consolidated and simplified the access to investment managers and mutual funds through our new investment advisory services platform. All Merrill Lynch clients have been asked to update their advisory account documents by the end of 2015. Converting assets to the new advisory services platform would lower the internal management cost of broker share classes held by the permanent fund. In the legislation, we're also requesting formal consulting services contract be signed with Merrill Lynch. The contract would detail the scope of consulting services we are providing the nation. Currently, we're providing consulting services without a contract in place. And to run through these bullet points very quickly, as I said before, our group has served as a primary investment advisor, broker, and consultant for the permanent fund since 2008. Since that time, the performance of the permanent fund ranks in the top third of all consulting-based clients we track of a universe of over 2,000 institutional clients at Merrill Lynch. If you turn to page 8, please, of this summary, basically it's a detail of the consulting services that we provide the nation. One is investment policy design, which basically is a document that talks about investments that can be done inside of the permanent fund. There's a strategic asset allocation study, which targets the appropriate amount of risk and return for the permanent fund. We do investment manager search and due diligence for all the investments held by the fund. And we also do quarterly performance monitoring of the performance of all the investments. We benchmark that performance versus peer groups and other funds similar to the permanent fund. You turn the page over to page 9, you'll see a listing of existing institutional clients that we have on the right-hand side. There's 2,001 institutional consulting relationships we have with over $10 million. Total assets that we cover is about $100 billion, and on the left-hand side is a listing of the types of clients that we have. As you can see closer to the bottom, we manage or consult on 7 different relationships, Native American relationships. Those assets total $2.2 billion. You flip forward 2 more pages to page 11. There's some performance information regarding the permanent fund. This is some of the typical performance information that we provide. Very quickly, this is a snapshot look at the total returns of the fund since inception that we've been involved. We started in April of 2008, and we're currently involved in the fund. These numbers are through March 31st of 2016. On the left-hand side, there's what I call a kind of a blue mountain chart. That depicts the growth of the assets of the permanent fund. There's a line that runs through there that's actually characterizing the deposits that may have been made in the permanent fund. I've got a circle below there
showing the date from April of 2008 to March of 2016. We've tracked, obviously the beginning balance was zero at Merrill Lynch. The net flow or deposits into the fund over that time frame have been $177 million. The fund has earned $85.9 million since that time frame. And the current value as of the end of March was $263,597,474. On the right hand side is some additional performance information. Again, I've done this and broken this out by quarterly, monthly, and since inception. There's another circle there detailing the performance of the fund since inception from 2008 to 2016. The total represents the permanent fund. The total return net of all expenses was 5.46%. The investment policy or target for the fund was 4.84. So we've outperformed the target benchmark that was assigned to the benchmark. Next to that, there's a column that depicts rank. And you'll see the number 32, that represents a percentage rank of the 2001 institutional consulting clients. The Muscogee Creek Nation Permanent Fund ranks in the top 32% of all institutional clients that we track. That's on a pure performance basis. If you were to look at the risk-adjusted returns, taking into the account of the risk that we're taking, we have some clients that are more conservative than the permanent fund. We have some clients that are more aggressive. The permanent fund has a balanced approach to investing. If you would take the risk-adjusted returns into account, it would rank in the top 10% of all institutional consulting clients that we have. I'm going to go down to bullet point number four. The legislation will allow for the conversion of mutual fund and alternative investments held in brokerage share classes to advisory share classes. If you turn to page 15 for me, and I have a listing here. These are two definitions. I'm not going to go too deep into this, but there is a legal difference between working with someone that holds himself out as a broker and someone who holds himself out as an advisor. Basically, brokers are paid on a commission or transaction basis. Advisors are paid on guidance and are paid a fee. I'm just going to read the last paragraph here. It basically says, advisors follow the fiduciary standard. The fiduciary standard was established as part of the Investment Advisor Act of 1940. The U.S. Securities Exchange Commission, or the SEC, holds advisors to a fiduciary standard that requires them to act in the best interest of the client, specifically stating they must put their client's interests above their own. Similar to a doctor's Hippocratic Oath, the fiduciary standard holds an investment advisor to an ethic and honest regulation. It requires higher standards and is more stringent than the suitability standard that brokers must meet. On bullet point number five, mutual fund purchases are governed by a prospectus, a legal document filed with the SEC that provides details about the investment offer, parameters of the fund, management team, performance history, and costs associated with the operation and purchase of the fund. Per the prospectus, all like-kind share class owners, example, all Class A brokerage or Class I advisory, mutual funds are treated equal from a purchase cost and performance standpoint. If you turn to page 18, you've got an actual example of the difference between purchases done as a broker versus an advisor. This is a position that's actually held by the permanent fund. It's called PIMCO Commodity Real Return. And if these shares are purchased through a broker relationship, they would be purchasing what are called Class A shares. There potentially could be an upfront sales charge depending upon the dollar amount invested, anywhere from 0 to 5%. Anything over $1 million would not be charged an upfront fee. All the transactions that we've done for the permanent fund in mutual funds have been greater than $1 million, so that there have been no upfront fees charged to the permanent fund. There is an underlying management fee of 0.94, a 12b1 fee of 0.25, other fee, which is typically transaction fees, of 0.20. The total expense of that particular fund is 1.39. If the same underlying fund was purchased in an advisory share class or class I, there would be no upfront or deferred sales charges. The management fee would be 10 basis points less, or 0.84. There's no 12B1 rule fee. There are still other advisory fees of 0.20 and advisory fee of 0.25. The total expense would be 1.29 or 0.10, 10 basis points less. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but when we're talking about a fund the size of the permanent fund, if you would turn two pages over to page 20, I've got a listing of the entire investments held at Merrill Lynch of the permanent fund. This is a pro forma sheet detailing the investments held by the manager's name, the current balance of those funds, the internal management fees of those funds depicted by a percentage, and the total dollar amounts which would be charged on an annual basis. As you can see, the total fund balance, again, as of the end of March 31, 2016, was $263,597,465. The annual basically cost to manage those assets is 0.79%. If you take these same investments and convert them over to a lower cost advisory share class, it would save the permanent fund 10 basis points across the entire balance. Basically, it would lower the fee to 0.69. It would save the permanent fund on an annual basis $255,301. That's the first step that we're trying to enact to lower the internal management fees of the fund. The second would be to find managers that are the same performing managers that have lower internal costs. We think we can bring the internal cost down to 0.65 or even 0.60 going forward. On bullet point number 7, limiting the permanent fund to utilize only brokerage share classes would cause the internal management cost to increase and reduce the investment options available to the permanent fund. We're trying to convert more assets to advisory, which are lower share classes, not move share classes into brokerage shares, which are a higher cost. Number 8, Merrill Lynch does not benefit from the cost savings generated from the conversion of share classes. All benefits of the lower cost share classes will be captured by the permanent fund. Number 9, the legislation will also allow Merrill Lynch to continue to serve as a consultant for the permanent fund. I've mentioned these services before. The consulting services provide include updating and maintaining an investment policy, an asset allocation study to confirm the risk and return targets of the permanent fund, performing ongoing due diligence of all the investment managers held by the fund, and producing quarterly performance and benchmarking reports for all investments held. Number 10, since the inception of the Merrill Lynch consulting relationships in 2009, we have waived all normal consulting fees from the Muskogee Creek Nation. There are no existing or additional costs associated with updating the consulting services agreement for Merrill Lynch. Thank you.
When's the last time you had contact with our investment committee?
The last time would be October of last year.
October.
I don't believe there's a formal investment committee formed at this point in time.
No, not at this time. Do you have a question though? Not you mentioned it on the bullet point that you read.
What?
On page 15.
Yes, sir.
Because on the investment committee, I had asked Mr. Jones if he was employed at Merrill Lynch. And upon reading this, do you feel that that was a conflict of interest working there plus being on the committee?
I know Mark, I know he attended the quarterly investment meetings. I don't know what his formal role was with the nation.
Well, he was on the investment committee, okay. That's what I'm going
on. He probably should not have been serving on the investment committee.
Well, I point blank asked him that day he was here, and they really got an answer.
Well, Mr. Jones, I guess I would say, my understanding was Chief Tiger specifically requested Mark Jones to serve in a role being involved in the investment committee. The formality of that, I'm not aware of.
But that was never brought to y'all's attention?
No.
Because I specifically had asked him and also asked Chief Tiger at the time. Again, I never got a true answer.
Mm-hmm. Mark had a relationship with the prior administration. He's no longer involved with, to my knowledge, anything having to do with the fund now.
What's the deadline on this?
The deadline to update the documents actually was in December of 2015. We were able to get an extension done specifically for the Muskogee Creek Nation. That extension actually terminated on May 27th. So the advisory contracts have run out. We are working with the investment managers on a day-to-day basis to manually update the accounts to keep them invested and keep them in line. So the deadline is passed, but we are continuing to manage the assets as they're supposed to be managed. We're hoping this is a temporary solution until we get the new document signed.
Randall, questions?
No.
Anybody else? Lucian? Questions?
No.
Any other questions? Roll call, please. Motion to pass.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
David Hill?
No.
Chairman, I got a tie vote.
Chairman votes yes.
Two in favor, one against.
The motion to pass passed. Thank you. Moving on down the agenda is TR 16-0-93. A chopper resolution of the Skunk Creek Nation approving beer sales at VA Tobacco Outlet and Mingo Tobacco Outlet Smoke Shop. Sponsor is James Jennings. Motion. Motion made to pass. Here, a second.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Committee. As you see in the legislation, the manager for Mr. Brunner, Mr. Taylor, has requested that we allow them to sell beer at their two smoke shops. And Mr. Brunner and Mr. Taylor are both here. So, Steve, you want to say anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, good to be here. Good to see everybody. Second, this is not a personal favor that I'm asking on the legislation. Although, in a nutshell, what we're doing at our smoke shop is going to increase the number of products that we offer to our customers, which would hopefully increase our revenue, which in turn would increase the revenue to the taxes to the Muskogee Creek Nation. We're not asking for anything more than what is being done at the travel plaza when beer is off premises. It would not be on premises. And that in a nutshell is all we're asking for. So thank you very much.
David, any questions?
Yeah. Didn't you have Tulsa asked before?
Mm-hmm. I think that the difference that's tribal property, where this is individual. And there's Lindsay, you have a question? Can you answer that? Well, I was gonna have Lindsay kind of difference.
Thank you, Chair. When I spoke with Mr. Dellinger about the Tulsa smoke shop wanting to sell beer in there, the issue was with all the construction going on, workers being able to come over during their lunch hour, buy alcohol, possibly drink it, go back to work with intoxication, so forth and so forth. That was the issue with that, or buying on the way into work to already have it. So that was one of the main reasons that Mr. Dellinger suggested that we not do that at the Tulsa smoke shop.
Okay.
Thank you.
Who knows? Any comment, Lindsay, or anything else?
No, that was actually the comment I was going to make. Was I don't think TCIC, as far as that, I don't think we ever actually drafted legislation. It was just a discussion. Okay. That was our biggest concern was the liability issue associated with selling it while the site's under construction.
Okay. Randall, any questions?
No. As far as AGs, I guess everything's on the up and up.
Yeah, as far as this is concerned, yeah, it would be, yeah. The only thing we might suggest is amending the TR to include the actual address of each location, because the statute specifically says that the National Council is to approve by tribal resolution the location of the sale of the alcohol. So we might suggest you just add the address for each location into the text of the TR.
Okay.
And Mr. Brunner, I guess, is there a license required for this? For you guys to sell the alcohol?
Right, through the state, you have to get a license, just like the travel plaza does, and it's pretty strict.
And you've already obtained it, or are you going to obtain it?
We haven't obtained it, no.
Okay.
We have looked into it, see what we would have to do, what the procedure would be.
We have already obtained our city, state, and county license from Tulsa County, City of Broken Arrow, City of Tulsa, and the state of Oklahoma. So all we are waiting on at this point is just an approval from the Creek Nation to allow us to go forth.
Okay. It, just to add to that, is the statute does also require, it requires the approval of the National Council by tribal resolution, and also they still have to go through our tax commission to get a license to sell alcohol to you.
Any questions? Mr. Jennings?
I'd also like to make a comment about not only at the travel place, but we did at the community at Twin Hills at the convenience store out there. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. No, motions do pass. Roll call, please. Motion made to add the addresses. In a second?
Second.
Okay. Roll call on that.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
David Hill.
Yes.
Two in favor, zero against.
I have two in favor and against. The motion has been approved, so we'll add the addresses to the TR also. Okay. Back to the main motion as amended with the address of added. Motions do pass. Roll call, please.
Randall Hicks.
Yes.
David Hill.
Yes.
Chairman, I got two in favor, zero against.
I have two in favor and none against. That motion has been approved. Thank you. Next on the agenda is TR 16-094. A tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the Trail of Tears Memorial Association Incorporated the use of the Great Seal of the Muskogee Creek Nation. Sponsored by James Jennings.
Chairman, make a motion to do pass.
In a second?
Second.
Okay. Jennings?
Thank you, Chairman and Committee. This is allowing this motorcycle group that's ridden over the Trail of Tears to here and to the Council House in 2007, I think it was. They put a marker on the south side of the Council House. All this is doing is allowing them to use our seal on t-shirts for that day. I think the second chief and the veterans office actually drove with them from Chicago in here to the Ramsey.
Okay. David, any questions?
No, they're not going to put them on their leather jacket.
Randall?
No.
Any other questions? Questions? No. Roll call, please.
David Hill?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Chairman, I got two in favor, zero against.
Have two in favor, none against. That must be approved. Next on the agenda is TRS 16-099. I'm going to chair the vice chair. Please, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. Next on the agenda is what? TR 16-099, a tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the River Spirit Casino Phase 2 Expansion Oversight Committee to increase the project budget for the River Spirit Casino Expansion Project in an amount of $5 million.
A motion? Make a motion to you, Pam.
A second?
Second.
Pat, you want to talk about it first, and then
sure.
I can say something.
Everybody else was going to come your bail out. Just briefly, this legislation, proposed legislation is for two items. It's for the addition, for the completion of the spa and salon in the new expansion project, and for off-site mitigation costs, both of which were in the early stages of the project. You know, we had a budget, conceptual budget, when design development drawings came out, and we got our pricing. We were obviously over budget. There was a lot of cost reductions and value engineering done. The mitigation costs, because they hadn't been designed, went from 4 or 5 million down to $1.5 million estimate. The spa was completely taken out. We always hoped we would have money in contingencies or something to complete the spa. What we did have to do was, the spa is on the lower level of the hotel tower. It is shelled in. We had to go through the design because we had to put the slab down and then close it, and it wouldn't be good use of the tribe's money to come back later and jackhammer everything out, put in the plumbing and floor drains and everything. So it has been completely designed. The infrastructure is there. The slab is down. But the estimate to complete it has been completely designed. The estimate to complete the spa is $2.8 million. I think the mitigation is $2.2 million. That's how the 2.8 and the 2.2 make up the 5 million. Kirby Crow is here from PMG. He can talk about the mitigation. Thankfully, your partner's not here.
Well, I will say this too, that, you know, the reason why the oversight committee has requested was that, you know, there'll be some construction contingencies fee. There's an amount of money in the budget, but, you know, he's not releasing the contingency funds until later, until the end of the construction phase. There may be some money left over to actually cover this amount here, but we can't wait till the end of the December to start doing the spa and the mitigation. And we need to know now at this point in time, so everything can be completed when the hotel is done. That's the reason why we're asking for the increase also. Yeah, so.
They both have deadlines. The mitigation has some deadlines. The spa, it truly needs to be completed when we open the hotel. To be a complete resort and to provide the amenities that are expected in a spa, we need the spa. It's a pretty major amenity that we need. We are getting a lot of requests about it. We went through a meeting today about group sales, and we're getting a lot of groups that are wanting to book already. They're asking about amenities, and the spa is one of them, and we're setting our hotel prices. And so we really need to know whether we have a spa or not. It's very important. And like I said earlier, the hope was we could cover it with contingencies. We do have some contingencies left over, but Manhattan, they're not at this point in time in the project, they're not comfortable releasing those. And as far as funding, as Robert mentioned, we always had $10 million more capacity in our loan than the cost of the expansion. The borrowing facility was $375 million. Total estimated cost was always no more than $365 million. So we always had $10 million headroom, you know, in the capacity for the loan for contingencies or things that come up. And it didn't cost us a lot, you know, to do that extra $10 million. Plus we made the payments, so there's certainly capacity in the loan and the ability to borrow this money in the loan. And if we don't have to at the end of the day, well, we won't borrow. If the contingencies aren't all used up, we won't borrow that. So we still would borrow the entire loan amount to complete the project.
Carry on, section word with mitigation.
On the contingency front, we've got a really good partner on the mitigation side. As Pat said, we didn't have mitigation design or sites when the budget was set. We evaluated 9 sites, several proved unfeasible, cut down to 3 that were considered, and then cut down to 2 mitigation sites. And at the last minute, we had one of the sites pulled out from under us by the owner. They didn't have the authority that they had indicated they had to a representative to act on. So we were down to really 1 mitigation site, which is the Stone Bluff Ranch. It's for the off-site mitigation. They've been great partners. This is Nordam Corporate's corporate retreat. It's been a really good process. They've been very fair. We had others that wanted a couple of $1 million plus just for the privilege of spending a bunch of money on their property for the environmental mitigation. Nordam's been amazingly reasonable, a great partner, and we have good numbers. We are negotiating pretty diligently on the mitigation work, and I think we'll have some savings in it. But one thing about mitigation is part of the permit, for the 404 permit, no mitigation, we're running really risk on the Fed side of coming in and doing an action against the nation, and we don't want to do that. So we pulled all the triggers to make the mitigation go, and this is it's good numbers, and it's a good project. We hope you can give favorable approvals.
Yep, thank you.
One other thing failed to mention is on the SPA, after we announced that we were doing a SPA, our partner or our competitor across town has built a SPA. So if they have one and we don't, we're at a competitive disadvantage there. So it's just kind of a necessity. They've been doing a lot to try to keep up. So.
Okay. David, any questions? Questions? Hearing none, roll call please.
David Hill?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 2 in favor, 0 against.
Two in favor, 9 against, that motion's been approved. Thank you. Moving down the agenda is NCA 16-098. A law of the Muskogee Creek Nation appropriating funds for the Tulsa's Future 3 Economic Development Plan. Sponsor is David Hill.
Chairman, make a motion to pass.
Motion to pass. Yes, okay. Floor's open for discussion.
Thank you all for your time tonight. I'll just talk briefly. We had a pretty lengthy discussion with you all back several weeks in the American Council meeting, so I really appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. We're just really grateful for the opportunity to submit this to you all. One thing that I wanted to clarify is the amount is $375,000 over 5 years, but this is actually a yearly commitment of $75,000. So it'll be paid annually, not necessarily all up front. So I just wanted to make sure that you all were clear on that. But we are really honored to have you all as a partner at the table on this. The chief of the nation has actually served on our oversight committee, who provides guidance for us since 2010. And so we've been grateful and honored to have you all as part of that. And so we look forward to working with you all over the next 5 years, which started at the beginning of this year, and we're in the middle of our fundraising efforts for the Economic Development Program. I think some of the track record is clear on this. I mean, we've had over 40,000 jobs created through the efforts of the Tulsa's Future Program, about $1.9 billion capital investment over a 10-year period. We've got the four-pillar approach that we talked about with you all as far as how to create jobs. And I've actually got a handout we can give you. We kind of put a short handout together to show some of the metrics of what this program will actually perform over the next 5 years. So with that, I would just say we respectfully propose $75,000 per year investment and letting the person of your designation serve on our oversight committee. That level gets you an oversight committee level, which is all of our CEOs and our larger investors in the program, even on a quarterly basis. So we respectfully ask for that and look forward to working with you all really to further economic development in the nation, to learn better some of the assets and maybe some of the new counties that have been added. And so we thank you for that. And we'll be happy to answer any questions. I've got, I serve as Executive Vice President, Chief Operating Officer of the Chamber. Frank Dorstenberg is our Senior Vice President of Economic Development. And then Allison Walden serves as Senior Vice President of Resource Development. So we'd be happy to answer any questions that y'all may have.
Okay. David, questions?
Not at this time.
Randall?
How many jobs do you say you created?
The total jobs, Tulsa's Future 2, the previous program, we had about, Brian, what was our final number?
Over 28,000.
28,000, and about half of those were above 50,000, about half were below. That was the last 5 year program.
You don't have to break down as far as Native American, non-Native?
We don't have that broken down, but there are, one of the things with the Cherokee Nation investing in the Macy's project, we were able to put together a project that allowed for them to have a pipeline of charities that were being employed within the Macy's project. So some kind of a similar model like that would definitely be something we look at in the future. We have, Brian, if you wanted to elaborate on that at all. But
And we're currently working on two very major projects right now. The Creek Nation has been very involved in terms of the negotiation process. And so these will actually provide very good opportunities for the whole region, but also for the citizens of the Creek Nation.
What kind of process do you have in mind as far as collaborating with the Creek Nation? How would you
what's your process? How are you going to hire Creek Citizens?
Well, like with the Cherokee Nation that Justin referenced with regards to Macy's, they brought in their employment services, and that was very helpful to the company. We would like to do that with the Creek Nation. Also, some possibilities of some collaborations with the company where there may be a possibility of some incentives has also been discussed. We see a lot of avenues that way. But I think really bringing in skilled jobs that employ local people would be a great avenue for the commission. We've also done a lot in terms of submitting projects in the Tullamore area. We tend to go further south now, like Hughes County, Mackinac County, and others. And so trying to provide, you're the main Tulsa, because in economic development, the region, there's a lot of rural areas that are involved, from the Northeast to Miami, Scobie to the southeast, down to McIntosh and Hughes County, and both Truskee County to the southeast, all the way to Payne to the west. So, it's a very large region, and the main helps promote and then provide a lot of resources for the rural communities and be able to attract projects and employ their citizens as well as the citizens of the nation.
Now, one of the really important things when a company is looking to locate is they want to know that they need the workforce that they need, whether that's 500 new people, 200 new people, 100 new people. And so really being tied into the workforce services within the Scary Creek Nation is important. So that would be something we definitely want to look for.
Betty?
I didn't really have a question as much as a comment. Our robotics program is going to get kids ready for these jobs that they're creating. And we want our kids to be making the $50,000+, not the below $50,000, which is where they're going to be if we don't properly get them prepared for college. And part of this plan was to increase the bachelor degree holding citizens from 25% to 30%. Mm-hmm. We want those to be our people. They're going to get those jobs automatically. We won't have to have quotas or ask where's our Creek Citizens if they're already educated and ready when these jobs come in.
Right. And you all in your packets have an annual report and then just a handout of what we put as the metrics that our oversight committee, which you all have a seat on, will hold us to those metrics, and they meet 4 times a year, and we report on those on a monthly basis.
Okay. Mark, questions? Speaker? Questions over here? Dale?
I'm good. Thank you.
James, questions? David, come on.
Now, also, just noticed that you also have another Creek Citizen on the campaign cabinet, Steve Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a graduate from DPU, a doctor.
He also serves on the board of directors of the chamber as well.
Anything else? Or none?
I'm sorry, just one more question. So previous to Chief Floyd, Chief Tiger sat on this committee?
Yes, that's correct.
And previous to him, A.D. Ellis sat on the committee, or was the committee not in existence?
I'm not sure. My recollection was goes back to Chief Tiger.
Okay. Last time we paid out was 2011.
That's what I was going to mention. The original legislation came out in 2011, starting in 2012.
Okay.
Anything else? Hearing none, roll call please.
David Hill?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Cameron, I got 2 in favor, 0 against.
I have 2 in favor, 9 against. That motion has been approved. Thank you.
Funding source.
Funding
source.
Funding source?
Economic development.
Moving on down the agenda, referred legislation. Which one?
NCA 16082, interest permanent fund. NCA 16084, interest permanent fund.
Okay.
NCA 16085, interest permanent fund. NCA 16087, interest permanent fund. NCA 16-088, interest permanent fund. NCA 16-089, interest permanent fund. NCA 16-090, interest permanent fund. NCA 16-091, capital improvement. NCA 16-092, interest permanent fund. NCA 16093, interest permanent fund. NCA 16095, interest permanent fund. NCA 16096, interest permanent fund.
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the funding source as read?
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
David Hill?
Yes.
Randall Hicks?
Yes.
Chairman, I got two in favor, zero against.
Got two in favor and against, those funding sources have been approved. Moving down the agenda, other business is the GUAB. Chris. Yeah, this kind of this is early time for them, so we won't have any financial numbers this time. That's the
speech there.
Sorry.
It's basically. Yeah, it's early. The books won't be closed and everything. Preliminary though, just so you know, I think I mentioned this last time. May of last year had 5 weekends. Started on a weekend, ended on a weekend. 5 Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. May of this year only had 4, so just by the reason of pure calendar, our revenues were down, and it'll probably will be close to our budget. It will certainly be below last year's revenues and numbers. We will be making another special distribution for all of the pre-opening costs for the month of April and May. That'll be between $750,000 and $1 million additional special distribution to cover the pre-opening costs.
Okay. Chris, any questions for the Pat or Chris? David? Thank you, guys. Okay, we went on down to the agenda. Announcements. Any announcements? Announcements?
I just left. Even if we just left for the I Am Face contest. $5 a ticket. I don't care if you put my name on it, I'll take a pie in the face. I only have 2 left.
Okay, any other announcements? Hearing none, your motion to adjourn. Your second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Joey, will you dismiss this?
Sure. Father God, we come to you today and we are just ever grateful and thankful for the guidance, love, mercy, and hope that you give each and every one of us. As we leave this place, just let us remember to follow your will, follow your urgings, Father, and just put ourselves second so that we can do the nation's business in the way that you want us to perform that, Father. Just give us traveling mercies on our way home and be with those who have lost loved ones and just comfort their hearts like no one else can, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.